we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Journaling your thoughts after a hard day of work is a good way to relieve stress. Posting those thoughts on Facebook isn't such a good idea. Bricks are a great choice for building a strong building. But a brick isn't a good choice for a meal. Bring your child to work day is a great way to teach them about your job. Letting them do your job isn't such a good idea. Life requires that you know what is and what isn't.
How are we doing, Redemption Church? Are we doing good? Excellent, excellent. Welcome to everybody. Glad that you are in service with us today here in Plano, Texas. Everybody that's looking online at Facebook Live, hello Facebook Live. Everybody that's listening to a podcast or a YouTube or a Vimeo or some other social media that they've invented in the future. Hello in the future. Wherever you are, we greet you from Plano, Texas. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we've come to proclaim Jesus Christ to you, and we want you to celebrate with us. Life requires that you know what is and what isn't. Many people have taken advantage of others, telling and selling them something that is, but really it isn't. Peddlers selling snake oil and other tonics. We talked about that last week. Rolling into town saying, this is the cure that you've been looking for, but really it's just fake oil, and they are making a killing on the profit, and people are just left with something that isn't what they claimed it to be. Last time we told you some things about Jesus. We told you things that Jesus is and also some things that Jesus isn't. Jesus is influential. All of time revolves around him, B.C. and A.D. He is powerful, and he is miraculous. We talked about the miracles of Jesus and the fact that he is still doing miracles. Jesus is God and man, yet Jesus isn't power hungry. We told you that. We told you that he is someone you can trust. Am I in the right church today that believes that Jesus Christ is someone you can trust? You believe that? Jesus isn't like the Pharisees. We read the story of the woman caught in the act. The Pharisees were picking up stones to kill the woman, but Jesus isn't like the Pharisees. He came to her defense. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he bent down and wrote on the ground with his finger because Jesus has come for our defense. He is our Savior. He isn't come to pick up stones against us. As amazing as Jesus is, he isn't accepted by everyone. I'm happy to tell you that you can accept him today, that he can be your Savior, he can be your healer. Whatever it is that you are needing, that is exactly what Jesus is. So get a hold of him today. When you find out who Jesus really is, you can't help but fall in love with him. Life requires you to know what is and isn't. And life can be really confusing about that. That's one of the reasons we have an anonymous text line. Look at this number, 214-856-0550. If you have questions about what is or isn't in life or in faith or anything, right? Text us in here. It's an anonymous number. We have no idea who is texting in. You could just text in and say, hey, I really like your shirt. And that would just, you know, just make your pastor's day. That's all. All right, 214-856-0550. All right. Hey, I get compliments wherever I can get them. All right. Today, we're going to be talking about the church. What the church is and what the church isn't. It's alarming how many people don't like the church. If you've been around a social media portal the last few weeks, there has been so much disdain over the church. You've seen it. You've seen attacks against churches. You've seen attacks against pastors. I get it. What if what they are so opposed to wasn't actually the church? Think about that for a second. People really don't like church, but what if the thing that they really don't like actually isn't the church? What if it's something the church isn't, unfortunately, that they have seen modeled? All right, you following me so far? What if we have been sold snake oil concerning what the church is or isn't. Let's look at it today. How about this one? The church isn't a building. Man, there's been a lot of talk about church buildings around the Houston area. You've seen it, right? We often make church a building or location, don't we? Yeah. We often say stuff like this. I'm on my way to church. Hey, what church do you go to, right? You should come to my church. My church is located at. Glad you could come to church today. These are usually how we use the term church. Am I right? Along with the thought that church is a building are the expectations. Churches have to have a steeple. There are some people, they will not go to a church that does not have a steeple. My goodness, we got to get a steeple. All right? Churches have stained glass. Churches have choirs. Churches have boring pastors who speak like this. Or speak like the Simpsons pastor, Reverend Lovejoy. Dearly beloved. All right. That's the best I can do. I really worked for that all week. All right. Churches have traditional hymns, but then some people say, no, churches have rock and roll contemporary music. They can't have both. That would be crazy. Churches have stages, or they have screens, or they have, for the lyrics, or they have hymnals. But we have these compartmentalized pictures of what the church is. Now, there is nothing wrong with any of those things, except for the boring preacher part. Except for that part. But these things that I just talked about do not make a church. These things don't make a church a church. Can you agree with that? A steeple doesn't make the church a church. All right? Absolutely. I would even tell you somebody getting up and holding a microphone and speaking does not make a church a church. The church we see in the Bible had none of these things. No steeples anywhere in the Bible. No stained glass anywhere in the Bible. They didn't have many of these things that we talk about. They did have music, right? But they didn't have projector screens or laser light shows, all right? They first met in the upper room when God's Spirit showed up in what book and chapter? Acts chapter 2. By the way, that's where our scripture memory verse is found, all right? They first met in an upper room. Where did they meet? In an upper room. That's all we know about it. We don't even know who owned the room. We don't know anything about it in Acts chapter 2. And what happened shortly after the Spirit came? They ended up on the streets. What started in the upper room didn't even stay in the upper room. It went to the streets. They met at the Jewish temple. It wasn't their own temple. The Christians didn't say, we need to build our own place. No, they went and they met at the temple. They would go to the temple on Sabbath to speak to the Jews, and then they'd come back the next day on Sunday and they'd worship Jesus. And they'd see all the people they invited on Saturday show up on Sunday. But they didn't own that place. They just met there. You following me? You with me? There were times they met in prisons. There were times they had a worship service in prison. Paul and Silas in the jail in Philippi. They had church without a building. God shook the prison and opened the jail cells. Anybody know that story? Anybody? If you don't know that story, you got to hear that story. It's a great one. What am I trying to tell you? The church isn't a building. Can you say those words with me? The church isn't a building. Here's what you need to know. The church is wherever you are. Wherever you are, that's where the church is. You are the church. Wherever you are, that's where the church is. Can you think about that for a second? How big should the church be? Well, it should be expanding every day because it's walking wherever you are. The church is having a conversation everywhere you have a conversation. Man, people say, man, the church just doesn't do enough. Well, we better get out there and start doing it. Now, see, I'm just going to explain something. That ought to be something that my church gets behind. So I'm going to rewind this, all right? So if there are people out there in the world in need, the church ought to be out there, you and me, and helping them. Yeah. Yeah. The church helped somebody yesterday when you went and pulled on the side of the road and helped somebody change a tire. The church helped someone yesterday when somebody didn't have food and you bought it for them. The church is helping somebody today by taking items all the way to the Houston area to help people. That is the church. The church is wherever you are. You do not have to meet at 903 West Parker Road to come to church. You are already the church. You are the church. You are the church. And you gotta know that with all your heart. Matthew 18 and 20 tells us that we're forever two or three come together in his name. Where is he? He is right there in the midst of them. And the context of that verse is actually about people that are in disagreement. So they don't even have to be like in a good mood. When two or three come together in the name of Jesus, that's church. God shows up right in the middle of that situation. Don't be afraid by this Greek word. There's a Greek word. I'm going to give you a Greek word. Here it is. The church is ekklesia. Everyone said ekklesia? All right. See, you said Greek and nothing bad happened. All right. Ekklesia is the Greek word for church. It literally means a community or group of called out ones, where each individual person has been called out by Jesus, but they are a collective group together. It's not one singular person, although each individual person has singularly been redeemed by the same Savior. That is the ecclesia. That is the church. 1 Peter 2:9 is one of the places this verse, that word comes up. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So can I tell you this? You can't have church without God calling people out of darkness. Church is wherever somebody's being called out of darkness. Can we also get real here? That God is still calling us out of dark things. God is still calling us away from temptation. God is calling us out of bitterness. God is calling us out of bad habits. God is calling us out of hypocrisy. Let me tell you, if we come here and we just pat each other on the back and never let Jesus draw us out of darkness, it's not church. Look at somebody and say, it ain't church. It ain't church. Church is where people are being called out of darkness into wonderful light. You can't have church without other believers. Because ecclesia is a group of called out believers. Now, can you be alone with God? Absolutely. Can you be in God's presence? Absolutely. Can you have a one-on-one encounter? Yes. But you are not the church by yourself. Can I get real with you? Big congregation, you are not the church by yourself. There is much more to us than what's here in the room right now. The church is all over this metroplex. The church is all over this state. It's all over this country, and it's all throughout the world. There are brothers and sisters. We are part of this collective called out people. There are a lot of people that say, I've got God and I got a Bible. I don't need a church. And they talk just like that. It's terrible. Terrible accent. No. But have you ever heard somebody say that? Oh, I got a God and I got a Bible. I don't need a church. I totally understand what they say. I totally even understand what they mean. I totally understand being mad at the church. I get it. Oh, absolutely. I do. But the Bible disagrees. It's not enough to just have God and the Bible. We are commanded to gather together. Hebrews 10 and 25. Get a load of this. Let us not give up meeting together. Let us not give up meeting what? Together, as some are in the habit of doing. See, people were in the habit of doing that way back when. But encouraging one another. You see, if it's just you and your Bible, you encourage nobody. If it's just you and your Bible, you minister to nobody. You serve nobody. And all the more as you'd see the day approaching, the writer of Hebrews would tell us that it's more important today than when he first wrote those words. Do you believe that? I want to tell you that we're living in a culture that kind of puts church on the background. On the back burner, the gathering together, we put that, if I have time, I'll get there. I hope I have time this week. Maybe if I feel bad, I get it. But let me tell you, more than ever, it's important that you come to church. More than ever, it's important that you are the church and that you're linking and connecting with other people more than ever. Says who? Says Hebrews 10:25. It's more important than ever. We need God and we need each other. Can you say those words with me? We need God and we need each other. It's the absolute truth. And if you don't understand that today, if there is a part of you that's hesitant about that today, you need to meet me in this altar today, because you need God and you need the other people that are in this room right now. And if you got problems with that, man, you really have some serious problems. I'm serious. Like churches come and they blast sin problems. Let me tell you, leave those sin problems alone. That problem right there is absolutely far from the will of God. You will never be everything that God has called you to be if you hate other people. I know, I've been there. God has dealt with me on that. I remember I was young. I was a young teenager. I was going through all kinds of angst, teenage angst. I was going through all kinds of problems, and I remember I told God one day, I told God this. I said, God, I love you, but people stink. We'll just say stink. But people stink, and the Lord stopped me right there. Micah, the Lord stopped me and said, I love those people. Don't say that about them. He didn't say they don't stink. I noted that. Some people stink, I get it. But the Lord said, no, it's not enough for you to just love me. The Bible says if we say we love God who we have not seen, but we say we don't love our brother who we have seen, we are a liar. We need God and we need each other. Not only do you need the people in this room, but the people in this room need you. Very few people think about that turn of the coin. They usually think, well, you know, I'm just not getting anything out of it. Oh, because it's all about you. I get it. You're not getting anything out of it. Yeah, you should stay home, because have you ever thought that maybe this Sunday it's about someone else? Have you ever thought maybe it's God bringing someone for you to encourage? Have you ever thought about that? All right, moving on. I can already tell y'all are mad at me. All right. Church isn't, and I'm passionate about this one. If you thought I was passionate about the others, Kelsey, you haven't seen anything yet. Church isn't a denomination. Can you say that with me? Oh my. Amen. Preach. See, I'm preaching with y'all. All right. Denominations are so tied to church that church has become a denomination. Oh, yes, it has. People ask, what kind of church will you go to? And it's kind of like this sneaky thing. And it's not enough to just say, oh, I go to church and they love Jesus. They're like, yeah, but, you know, can you describe it? Maybe show us a belief statement. Like, how do you baptize? And how do you worship? And how do you do communion? And what is your church government set up like that? And what is this? And what, oh my gosh. And what day do you meet on? Is it Sabbath? Is it Sunday? What time? And then they find out we meet at 3 p.m. And then they're just like, boy, is that even a church? The people ask all the time, why do y'all meet at 3 p.m.? Like it's got a real secret meeting. And I actually don't do this, but in my mind, I'm always like, brother and sister, don't you know that Jesus died at 3 p.m. on a Friday? No, we just meet at 3 p.m. because that was the time this building was available. All right. Really spiritual, right? But what kind of church? You know what I'm talking about? You've ever felt that? Yeah, what kind is it? I mean, is it the good kind? That's kind of what they mean without saying it. Yeah, but isn't your church, you know, false doctrine and y'all are actually going to hell? It's kind of in there. And I know, because I used to be one. God's delivered me from it. You know, I go to church. You know, it's a church that loves Jesus and it loves people and it believes that every person has a unique calling of God that reaches outside of them and to the four corners of the earth. No, but how do you baptize? What? Oh, no, let's get to the real important stuff. No, you're missing the real important stuff. But is it a Baptist church? Is it a Catholic church? Is it a Methodist? Is it Episcopalian, Lutheran, Latter-day Saint, Seventh-day Adventist, Assembly of God? Which one is it? I love this. You have the Church of Christ, and you have the Church of God, and then you have the Church of God in Christ. And Lord help if they're all in the same place at one time. They will argue forever. Those are all three denominations. Their names are like practically the same, and they are far from the same. Churches have split off into denominations, but then the denominations split further into sects of denominations. You have Baptist, Southern Baptist, Missionary Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Evangelical Free Baptist, Independent Baptist, Primitive Baptist, Progressive Baptist. This list goes on and on. You don't have enough time for me today. In the U.S. alone, there are 62 forms of the Baptist denomination. I'm Baptist. Which of the 62 Baptists are you? I don't know. Well, then, good luck going to heaven. All right. Get this. This is a staggering number. There are roughly 41,000 Christian denominations in the world. 41,000. In fact, get this stat. A new Christian denomination is formed every 10.5 hours. Today, two Christian denominations will be formed. What the garbage is that? The church isn't a denomination. Can I get an amen on that one? The church is not a denomination. Can you agree with me that that is a mess of a system? God's church was never meant to have 41,000 denominations. God gave birth to one church in the book of Acts chapter 2. That is the picture of the church. It wasn't a denomination, nor was it meant to be another world religion. It was people of many languages, of many nationalities, of many skin colors, people of different social, economic standing. It included men, and it included women. It included the young, and it included the old. Coming in contact with the same one Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the church. It will always be the church. That, my friends, is the church. My goodness. Want to see the church walking in power and miracles like it did in Acts chapter 2? Then you focus on the same things that the early church focused on. Would they focus on? Oh, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, what are we preaching today? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Every sermon series was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's our sermon series. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was it. You want to see the power of God alive in His church? Get a hold of the gospel. You want to see the power of God alive in you? Get a hold of the gospel. Make it the focus of everything. Make that the thing that we talk about. Let's not argue over silly things. Well, but how many times a month do you do communion? And who's allowed to do it? Okay, whatever. Let's get back to the real thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus Christ. Want to see the church splinter into 41,000 different denominations? Focus on anything else. Focus on anything else other than Jesus, and that's where we will continue to go. There are churches that split over silly arguments. One of my favorite silly church arguments, a church actually split over this. The question was, I bring to the church today, we have to understand, did Adam indeed have a belly button? And part of the church said he absolutely had a belly button. The other part of the church said, no way, he didn't have an umbilical cord. He has no belly button. So that was just irreconcilable. So they split that church. Are you kidding me? I wonder how many people got saved in that meeting. I wonder how many people committed their life to Jesus Christ in that meeting. I wonder how many people had a fresh call of God revealed in their life. Zero, zilch. That is splintered garbage. That is the downfall of what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be people that are called by Jesus and going out to speak on His behalf. We are His ambassadors. We need to know what church is and what church isn't. My goodness. Matthew 16 and 18. On this rock, I will build my ecclesia, my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The church is built by Jesus. who builds this church. It's Jesus. The church isn't built by a denomination. The church isn't built by a pastor or the pastoral staff. You are the church, and Jesus is the builder. He's not building this building. He's building you. You are the one he is building. He says, upon this rock, I will build my Maddie. I will build my Alex. I will build my Robert. I will build my church. That's you. Do you understand that about your Jesus? You are the church and Jesus is the builder. 1 Peter 2:5, I love this. You, everyone said you, also like living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Christians focus a lot on church buildings. That's not the building that Jesus is focused on. He is using you as a lively stone, and he is positioning you to build up a spiritual house where all of, you know what, you can't have a house with the bricks not touching. You can't. He is forming us. He's bringing us all together. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. There would be no room for racism anymore if the church would be the church. That was half-hearted at best. There would be no room for racism if the church was the church. And I believe it. My goodness. That he's calling us. Do you understand that he called me to be his spiritual house? Brother Robert, do you understand that he's called you and we get to have fellowship together in his same house and he brought us together? Our social economic backgrounds, our racism, all that stuff, that separates us. Jesus unifies us and brings us all together. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. The church is built by Jesus and the church is built on the rock of Christ. Ephesians 2:20 tells us this. It's built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. This whole thing is built on Jesus. He is the most important piece. He's not the only piece because he is using you to build. He's using apostles and prophets to build. But the whole foundation, mark my words, how it all lines up is through Jesus Christ. Not only that, where Jesus builds his church is crazy. Jesus has built his church right next to Hell's Gates. I want you to get this picture. Picture a beautiful church building in your head, right? What do you picture? Some people picture a countryside church, a church that's just so beautiful, a big church building in the heart of the city with a big fountain. And my goodness, they even have a Starbucks inside. My goodness, praise God. All right, the church world today gives you a lot of thought, gives a lot of thought on where to build a church. They actually have big, like they pay money to like focus group where they should build a church. You want to build a church on the good side of town. You want to build a church on the right side of the tracks. And because of this, church has become segregated by economic standing and by skin color. Absolutely. But where does Jesus build his church? Where does Jesus position his church? He does it right next to the gates of hell. Matthew 16:18. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. When all hell is breaking loose, the church of Jesus should be present. We should be right on the scene. When people are dying of drug addiction, the church of Jesus should be present. Where there is racism and greed, and where there's the sex trade and prostitution, where there is shame and fear, the church of Jesus should be present. When a hurricane or a tornado or some natural disaster hits part of the world, not just Texas, just the world in general, the church of Jesus should be present. God isn't building his church on the good side of town. He is right outside the gates of hell. He is taking lively stones and he is positioning them. Jesus is forming a blockade to the gates of hell. If you're going to go hell, you ought to have to walk right by the church that's reaching for you, that's loving for you, that's giving you peace, that's giving you hope. Do you understand that Jesus needs you to be a blockade for hell? Oh my goodness. Why isn't church so pretty? It's right by the gates of hell. Church isn't pretty. Messed up people come to church. Absolutely. We're pulling them from hell. Do you get it? The people inside the church aren't always prim and proper. All of us were on our way to hell when Jesus said, stop, you're not going any further. You're coming into this safe refuge. Hallelujah. That's where Jesus found me. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 14. Hell enlarges herself and opened her mouth without measure. I want you to get this picture that hell is always enlarging himself. But I want you to get a true picture of where Jesus is and where his church is. Jesus is outside of the gate saying, no, you don't. You're not going to grow today. You're not going to have this soul today. No, I purchased this soul. Satan, you can't have Plano, Texas. No, you can't have this group. No, all the stuff that's going in Houston, in Beaumont, all these areas, you cannot have these people. Satan, you can't have this city block. Do you understand that Jesus inside of you is trying to form a blockade against hell in your own neighborhood, in your own house? Do you see that? Do you feel the grip of Jesus today? He's pulling people and he's pulling us from the gates of hell inside his church that he's built right by the gates of hell. And what does it say? It says that the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. Oh my goodness. You have hell enlarging herself daily, but they aren't going to overcome the church. They aren't going to beat the church. You think hell thinks they're having a revival. Hell, you just get ready to see the greatest revival that's ever happened on the face of the planet. It's going to happen in Jesus's church because Jesus is going to pull all those people out of the gates of hell and bring them right into his presence. Absolutely. I'm speaking to people today. You've got family members. He's reaching for them. You're worried about them. You've been praying for them. You don't see anything. Let me tell you, you don't have to see anything to know that Jesus is doing something. Jesus is doing something. You believe that? I want to encourage you today. Don't you dare give up. You keep being the church. Don't you dare give up. You keep loving like Jesus. Don't you dare give up. You keep reading your Bible and praying. God is going to reach those people. Thank you, Jesus, for reaching those people. Thank you, Jesus, for reaching me. Thank you, Jesus, for calling me out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me be in your church. My goodness, you know what's way better than being called a pastor? To be called a son of God. There's just no comparison. That he's called me into his church. Oh my goodness, that is the greatest honor of all honors. Lord Jesus, since you are the builder of your church, come right now and position me like that lively stone. Put me where I'm supposed to be. You're the builder. Why don't I let the builder position me instead of me trying to position myself? Lord Jesus, position the Fluitt family. Why don't you pray that over your family? God, position us. You're the builder. Take this lively stone that is our family. Position us. Lord Jesus, take Redemption Church. Position us. Take us, Lord. Life requires you to know what is and what isn't. I'm telling you today that we need to rethink what the church is. We would love for you to help us rethink church and to reach this city. We need to rethink things. My goodness, the church gets really like in their own thing. We need to rethink it. We need fresh eyes on this thing. You ever run into a problem and then somebody with fresh eyes comes in and looks at it? You could be our fresh eyes. I'm telling you, young people, I don't know what young people are doing nowadays. So young people, why don't you come talk to us? We need to know how to reach young people. Senior citizens, I don't know. I've never lived a senior citizen life. Brother Robert, why don't you help us learn how to reach a senior citizen? Oh my goodness, with all that's going on with racism, my goodness, here I am as a white dude. I've been like prejudiced against maybe like that one time I was at Starbucks and they mispronounced my name. Think they were being mean. Like, I've never experienced that. Maybe want somebody in the church, come help us rethink this. Help us build this bridge. Help us to fight against the gates of hell. Help us to be positioned to share Jesus where everything's falling apart. The church is supposed to be right near the gates of hell. I want to ask our worship team to come back. The church is built by Jesus and we're saved by Jesus. Jesus will take us to heaven to be with him. But for right now, as he builds his church, he has created roles and placed people over the church to lead it. One of those roles is pastor. We could talk about the fivefold ministry one day, but for today, let's just talk about the role of a pastor. As I close, I need to talk to you really quick about what a pastor is and what a pastor isn't. I'm very serious about this. The pastor isn't a king. Pastor isn't a king. Far too often, the church would treat pastors as kings. That they would bow down to their pastor. This is the pastor's church. You better do what he says. That Chris Fluitt's not just an ordinary man. He's a pastor. Pastor's prayers, you know, they're stronger than ours. No. Pastor isn't a king. Pastors have also abused power. I've seen that happen. Do what I say because I said so. I have seen pastors bully people and guilt them into doing things that aren't even scriptural. I've seen it. The view that a pastor is like a king has hurt the church of Jesus Christ. There is only one king. Jesus Christ is that one king. The Bible never compares a pastor to a king. What does the Bible compare a pastor to? A servant. A pastor is a servant. The word most associated with pastor in the Bible is the word shepherd. The word shepherd is used interchangeably with pastor. Sometimes instead of saying the word pastor, it would just say shepherd. The shepherd of the flock. The shepherd of the ecclesia, the church. What is a shepherd? It's a servant. Who does the shepherd serve? Everyone in the flock. The shepherd doesn't just serve one. We know a wonderful story about the really good shepherd. He left all the others just for the one. That should be what a pastor is. That should be what a shepherd is. He tends to the flock. He protects the flock. He feeds the flock. The flock is stronger from his service. Instead of the flock becoming poorer. I won't go there. I want to say this, and I really want you to listen to me like I'm talking straight to you over a Starbucks coffee. I want to be your pastor. I want to be your pastor, not your king. I want to serve you. I want to help you. When you need prayer, oh, I'm right here. Call me. Call me. You need help? Call me. I want to be that help. You're just going out of your mind. You just need somebody to listen to you and tell you if you're crazy or not. Call me. Call me. That's me. I'm not saying I want you to treat me like a king, but instead, I'm saying I want to serve you. One of the great ways I can serve you is I try to give you the Word of God, and I really try to give it straight. You know, I don't try to dance around things. I really try to give it to you straight. But another way I can serve you as I can pray with you. I'm about to open up these altars for a time of prayer, time of worship, whatever you want to do in this place. But if you would like me to serve you today, I invite you to come in the first 2 feet. And I would love to serve you. Here's usually how that goes. I'll just walk up to you and I'll say, hey, how can I pray for you today? What's going on? And then you talk to me and we pray. It's real simple. We could do that today. Wherever you are watching this or listening to this, find somebody that'll serve you like that. Be a part of the church of Jesus. Know what the church is. Know what the church isn't. Redemption, these altars right now, they're open. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? If you want special prayer, you come in that first 2 feet. But I want you to come today. I want you to focus. God, position me. Help me to be your church. Help me to see bright, beautiful things happen in my city and in my home. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person that's in the room or watching or listening right now, Lord, that you would be with them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as they begin to speak to you, Lord, that they will feel your presence and they will get a sense that you're with them and that you will help position them. Lord, we know, Lord, that your positioning doesn't always happen instantly. Sometimes it takes time. Lord, we're patient with that. Lord, give us dreams that position us, Lord. Let the word of God just open up to us so fresh and let it position us, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to rid the world of racism. Help us to rid the world of hunger and help us to bring Jesus to all the four corners of this world. Father, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God in this house.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.